Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
All right. Right now here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions, I'm talking with a band from Tacoma called Punish the Scribes. A couple members of this band are going to be releasing an album November 20th called The Ancients Judge the Folly of Man. First off, welcome to the show. What's your name and what do you do for Punish the Scribes?
I'm Mike. I play guitar and a little bit of vocals.
I'm Tristan. I play guitar and do some vocals, and that's about it.
So you guys are out in the middle of nowhere right now. Is that right? Or are you in Tacoma proper?
Yeah, we're out in Black Diamond, actually, is where we rehearse. And so Okay. Where we keep our secret subterranean lair.
So I was going to, I think I called you guys a Tacoma band. Is that incorrect? Are you guys a Black Diamond band?
Maybe.
All right.
Label ourselves. We're pretentious.
Representing Black Diamond, bro.
Yeah.
At least unincorporated King County.
I like it. Okay. I like it. All right, guys. Well, whoever wants to jump in, I'd love to hear kind of an origin story of the band, if you don't mind. Whoever wants to hop in and kind of fill me in with when this started and, you know, how'd you guys meet and all that stuff.
Well, Mike and I have known each other since we were like 13. We were in a band in high school called Freud.
Mm-hmm.
And, life happened. We moved away. I moved away, came back. Eventually, we started playing together again. I don't know, 2012, something like that. And slowly started doing more as we had time. Mm-hmm. And it came this eventually.
So when did officially Punish the Scribes, when did you like christen it with a name and it become this project?
2015, maybe.
Okay, awesome.
Maybe, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah, about then.
Right on. So how has your taste in, or at least the music that you guys created together, how has that shaped and changed? In high school, you said you were in a band called Freud together. Is it similar styles of music or not really? I
mean, there, you could go back and look at that old stuff and hear, you know, kind of the beginnings of, you know, what we were influenced by, you know, shoegaze bands and bands like The Vine Burning and Starflyer and Mike and I getting into metal and things like that in high school. But, you know, we went and did other things. I was in a few instrumental bands, Waves and Radiation and They Rise, We Die for a while. Mm-hmm. And when we started jamming together, it was just playing old songs from stuff we'd written in high school is where we started, and just kind of having fun jamming in the basement. I run a studio in Tacoma and I'm also the sound guy at the Plaid Pig. So I'm pretty busy doing music stuff all the time for a living. So this has always been kind of a side thing for us and a hobby, cause we all have kids and wives and jobs, businesses. And, I mean, you can see the progression, the stuff that we started writing at first, before we kind of got the moniker, was a little more in the vein of like Hum, Failure kind of thing. And then we were trying to do some heavier and heavier stuff, and this is what came out.
Nice. Well, so you must have had a little bit of time on your hands as well. I would, that would be too much to assume. I know that you are a dad and whatnot, but during the pandemic, obviously a lot of shows weren't happening. And you being a sound guy at the Plaid Pig, Tristan, did you have a lot more time to dedicate to the band, or maybe is that an assumption that's wrong?
This record has been written for about 3 years.
Okay. So it's not a pandemic record.
Through life, you know, things that have gone on, we've had some health issues with some of the guys and family and all that stuff. And, some changes in our lineup, that have been for the better now, but kind of that was holding us back from getting this done. And kind of like, you know, I'm an audio engineer, so it's kind of like a mechanic's car. I never get time to work on my own stuff. And so we went in January. I had broken my ankle in October. We were supposed to go in November.
Oh, wow.
Had to postpone until I could at least walk in a boot again, and started tracking it in January. We did all the basics live at the studio I work out of in Tacoma, Mountain House out of Sound West. And then came back here and did all the vocals and a few overdubs. And then I mixed it at Mountain House, and Tony Reed from Moss Generator.
Yeah.
And he mastered it, and he did an amazing job.
Awesome. So,
well, it definitely became
a pandemic. What were you saying?
It became a pandemic project because we finally got the time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You finally had that time to dedicate to your own thing, as opposed to always working on everyone else's stuff. Do you find it difficult, being as someone who records other people's projects, do you ever find it difficult to work on your own and be able to finally just like be done with it? I'm sure like you're probably a perfectionist.
Once it was back from mastering and, you know, went off to pressing and stuff, once that job was done, it was a big relief for me because I didn't have to listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
But it is difficult because by the time I get done at work, or I'm either at the studio or at the Pig, I kind of don't want to listen to music. So working on my own stuff is, when we have rehearsal once a week here, that's when I get time to do it. And sometimes, you know, life and family and shows, especially for me, if I've got a show at the Pig, I got to work. So, you know, sometimes that gets us pushed to the side a little bit.
So aside from the band, correct me if I'm wrong, you said your name is Mike, right?
That's correct.
Mike, what do you do beside the band? I'm assuming you're not, you know, living off of royalties from Punished Scribes.
No. I work in a family business. Been doing that for way too long. Coming up on what, almost 20 years now. Yeah. So nothing exciting though. I don't get a hobby, you know, other bands and destroy my eardrums with fun stuff.
Yeah. You just get to look at decking materials.
Yeah.
How were you guys able to stay sane, you know, during the pandemic when, you know, a lot of my outlet personally has just been, you know, going out and seeing bands and stuff. Obviously we couldn't do that. You know, and that was kind of like a release of, you know, whatever, if I had like a crap day, but obviously we couldn't have that. How'd you guys stay sane? Or is that an assumption that you did stay sane?
I think there was a little bit of going crazy. I have 11-year-old twins. So
yes.
I've been a lot with them, you know, doing, cause at that point it was almost like homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
So home, he's spending a lot of time with them doing dad stuff. And we spent a lot of time together as a family. My wife and I have been together, married for 13 years. So it was nice to get some family time where we were forced to be together, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
That, and, you know, working on this record was a lot of it. We started, you know, other than an injury and trying to figure out what we were doing and, you know, hanging out, getting stuff fixed and ready to go when we reopened at the Pig.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for me, I've, you know, always been a bit of an introvert and antisocial, so not much difference, really.
Just hang out with your kid
exactly.
And your wife, and there you go.
I would have hardly noticed.
Fair enough. Well, so if you were having, or if you are having a crappy day, and that's not hard to imagine with the past, you know, 18 months or so, Is there an album that you can always reach to that'll like either lift your spirits, release some tension, or just put you in a good place that you need to be? Is there an album that's a go-to for you? And Tristan, let's start with you.
I mean, I have such a big music collection. It's tough to pick.
Name a few, you know.
You know, one that I go back to is an early one for me is the Violet Burning self-title is always a fun one. Mm-hmm. Also, what same year, I think, is Neurosis is Through Silver and Blood.
Yeah.
Those are generally good go-tos for me.
And Mike, what about you?
Probably, I'd say, I don't know, October Rust, Typo Negative finds a lot of play in the rotation.
Spooky season is upon us. Yes, as exactly. Mm-hmm. Right on. Okay. Well, along those lines, you know, we have such a rich history here in the Pacific Northwest, and being that you guys, you know, grew up here in the Northwest and whatnot, and you are a Pacific Northwest band, as you are a Black Diamond band. What's your favorite or favorites as far as Northwest bands of all time? And you can name a few, and it doesn't have to be bands that are current of all time. Mike, let's start with you this time. What are your favorite Northwest bands or artists?
You know, there's a few local guys that completely out of genre for us, but you mm-hmm. know, more along the folk side, like Damian Girardo.
Yeah.
And then you know. It's Seattle, so there's got to be some grunge in there too.
Yeah,
talking the other night about you know being a little bit sick of Nirvana and whatnot, hearing it all the time. But that was a major influence for me in my younger years because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
once you hear it the first time,
I took my kid to her first rock show the other night at Real Art. Mm-hmm. And the bands that played were doing the same Nirvana covers we all did in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And
that's great.
It's just, it never changes.
Nope. It's a good place to cut your teeth on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that it's still alive, you know, and it's like it's just in the DNA of this area, yeah. You know, and I could go, you know, a couple years without hearing like, In Utero, and then I put it on and it hits me like it did, you know?
Yeah. For me, I always was a big Mudhoney and Melvins fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little known band called the Forensics that I was into back in the day.
Oh yeah. They were really hardcore. Yeah. They were,
you know, oh my God. I got into as I got out of high school, Moss Generator was a big one. But yeah, definitely Mudhoney and the Melvins for me were the two bigger ones.
I can't believe you brought up the Forensics.
I had to.
They're not as good as Shiloh.
That's true. That's true.
Shiloh actually played some shows.
Or Animal Farm.
All right. This is all getting cut out.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh my
God. No, definitely Melvins and Mudhoney for me are the two big ones. And Tad.
Yes. Heavy.
He's still doing some great stuff as an engineer. He did that the two releases that Sorsha put out. They're phenomenal.
Yes.
We love them. We love playing with them. We just played with them last month.
Oh, that's awesome. They're freaking great.
Great and great people. We love them.
All right. So now that we, you know, have some of the bases covered as far as like some of your inspirations and stuff, where does the name Punish the Scribes come from? Is it anything specifically, or was it just a cool name?
I think it's just kind of a cool name. It's a take on, you know, same kind of thing as Kill the Messenger or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
But it was us trying to figure out a name when we decided to start playing shows, mm-hmm. and some different things thrown around. And one day, one of the things that got thrown around, we were standing outside smoking a cigarette here, and Mike just said, "What about Punish the Scribes?" And all of us went, "Yep, that's it."
Nice.
So nothing too deep on it. You know, we like the way it sounds. It's kind of a Kill the Messenger thing. And
right on. Well, we're actually going to go into one of the songs here. The first track from the album, it's called The Blushing Crow. Again, the album's called The Ancients Judge the Folly of Man. It's out November 20th. Are you guys going to be playing any record release shows or anything? Yeah.
We are playing at the Pig with Stricken, They Walk Among Us, and Breath. So that'll be fun.
What was that date one more time?
November 20th on the release.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, we're going to go into it, A Blushing Crow. And you got anything you want to say about this tune?
No.
All right, let's listen. Let the music speak for itself. Here it is. It's Punish the Scribes here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. We'll be right back. I Was a Blushing Crow by Punish the Scribes, a Black Diamond band. That's right. Black Diamond band. Well, you could be a Tacoma band. I'm going to call you guys a Tacoma band because it seems like home base for you guys is Plaid Pig. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much, because I work there. So I can kind of. And we, you know, Waves and Radiation was a Tacoma band that I was in. So it's just kind of ended up being home base for me and kind of where the projects that I've associated have claimed, if you will.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. So aside from, you know, the Plaid Pig, are there any other places you guys are fans of playing in the area, or is it?
We love playing Valley. That's always fun.
Cool.
Fantastic venue. Where else have we played? New Frontier was always fun.
Yeah.
A lot of the places that I was playing that I really loved aren't around anymore. We lost a lot of venues to the pandemic too. So,
which ones are around and would,
I mean, the Comet was always fun. I've played so many places that I can't tell you of a place that I've played where I've been like, you know what? I don't like this place. Seattle area generally has pretty good venues. The Chuck, the Charleston out in Bremerton is an awesome venue that does all ages still. Really love that place.
Can't forget the OG Club Impact, Tristan.
Yeah. Now the only one in Tacoma is Real Art. Everybody else is 21 and up.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm curious about a question that I will admit. I would love to hear if it's embarrassing, and I will put myself out there on Front Street. My first CD I ever purchased was No Doubt Tragic Kingdom. So no shame in my game. In your guys's world, what was the first tape, CD, record, whatever, first form of music you ever purchased with your own money?
I know exactly what it was. I bought it at Christian Summer Camp. It was DC Talks Free at Last.
All right. All right.
And Audio Adrenaline too.
I was more of a Newsboys head personally, but
yeah, they had their thing.
I think mine was Rubber Soul.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me with your dad.
A bit more legit than DC Talk, but hey,
yeah, I can't say like Loveless was my first CD. No, yeah. I get DC Talk's Free at Last, and I'll claim it proudly.
People are like, yeah, man, mine was Pantera. You're like, DC Talk, hardcore. It's all good. Hey, but that's the thing is, like, we all start somewhere. I got into, like, I listened to, like, Deicide and, like, Satanic. I interviewed one of the guys from Zayo, and I was like, dude, my mom got me a Tooth and Nail sampler. I got into Zayo, and then I got into X-Toll, and then I got into, just from looking at the bands that they thanked, that started my journey.
Yeah, we were cleaning up down here after loading back in from our last show and found an old CD binder of Michael's, and they had all those Tooth and Nail compilations in it. Some even, you know, more underground from that scene stuff, like Focused and Focal Point and Living Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
That was definitely my end to, you know, metal and hardcore was that stuff. Stavesacre.
Yep. All those bands just reunited at that Furnace Fest.
They did. Michael's cousin and a friend of ours and I used to run a pedal company called Smart People Factory together.
Okay.
And Stavesacre was one of our endorsees, and stay in touch with those guys. And it's funny. I think the bass player from that band is like Zach Brown's tour manager now.
Wow.
So like they've gone all over the place, and I was bummed that I coun't get out to go to that festival. Cause I think it was the same weekend we had the Dickies.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I wanted to see the Dickies. That was a blast.
Nice, dude. Over at Plaid Pig, the Dickies.
Yep. Yep.
Did they play the Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Yes, they did.
Awesome.
It was great. They did that. Gigantor.
That's killer. And,
I have the set list on the wall in my office now. But that was a great show, man. 14-year-old me was losing his mind running sound for that, going, oh, man, it's the Dickies.
If anyone's curious and they would love to record with you, do you book your own appointments to or in your own sessions, or do you work with someone else that?
No, I do my own stuff. They can get a hold of me and find me on social media, Tristan McNabb. Mountain House Recordings is the place that I work out of. We have a website, mountainhouserecordings.com. But generally, best place to get a hold of me is either through social media or you can send me an email to the band's email account at punishedandscribes@gmail.com. That's an easy way to get a hold of me, too.
Awesome. Well, you guys have been, you know, playing with each other since, you know, you said you were 13 or been friends since 13, playing with each other for a long time as you know, contributing artists and whatnot. What's kept you guys like, you know, not, you know, a lot of friendships come and go or, you know, but what's kept you guys tight? You know, what's kept you guys on the same level and being able to coexist for so long?
Well, our friend group is pretty mutual, you know, like I was saying, his cousins and friends, like things like that, that we've stayed close with. So, and we've generally been in living close to each other. So,
yeah. And we've always taken it pretty easy with stuff and not, you know, not a huge drive to get out and get stuff done and go on tour and, you know, make something of it. It's been a hobby and something enjoyable for us. So not too much tension.
Yeah. But, you know, off and on, we saw each other for years, you know, as that goes when you're growing up. And then I got done with a project and Mike was having some changes in his life and had the space down here that we rehearse in. And so we just started jamming together for the fun of it once a week and, you know, kind of like the weekly poker game, if you will. And then it be an actual project instead of just him and I. We brought on a couple other people and have had some lineup changes through the years, but just consistently enjoy playing with each other. And we started playing guitar at the same time in junior high. And so at this point we kind of know where each other's going to go. It's easy to read. You know, I know kind of what he's doing. He kind of knows what I'm doing, where we both come from.
Totally.
So it's a good fit.
Awesome. Right on. Well, I'm always curious about, you know, like relationships and collaboration and stuff. It sounds like you guys have a good thing going and a friendship as well as a, you know, musical collaboration thing. So,
well, he's the level head and I'm the hothead. So generally if I something, he's the one to calm the situation down and take it, you know, we don't need conflict here, dude. So it works out.
So being that you're both dads, what do your kids think of your heavy music?
My two are into it. I have one who's really getting into metal and hardcore and punk and
cool.
She'll argue with you who the best Black Flag vocalist is. The other one she thinks it's cool that her dad's in a band, but she's more into modern pop music and Flyleaf that her mom's into and things like that. So they dig it, but they, you know, because generally we're playing 21 and up shows, neither of them have ever got to see us. And so we're trying to figure out in the next year so we can play some Warologist stuff and be able to let them come see it.
Totally. Yeah. You go play with pigs now.
Yeah.
Mine's always loved a lot of shows. I've had someone there to video call it back so she could watch it on some phone that, you know, stay up late at night and get to see her dad. Thought that was pretty cool, but yeah, she hasn't really gotten too much into the metal. The other day it was you know, a little exciting when she's like, "Hey dad, you got to check out this new band I found, System of the Down."
Check them like, out.
Amazing new band you found.
I like it. That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's getting there. Getting out of the K-pop phase and it'll happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you guys are mainly, and you know, I don't want to pigeonhole you, but you're mainly an instrumental band. Is that correct?
I mean, it really depends on the song.
Okay.
If you know, we've been doing instrumental stuff since the days that we were in Freud in high school. There was always some element of that to what we did.
Okay.
And I exclusively instrumental bands and then doing, you know, getting to start playing cello in school and doing classical music and all that. We just kind of take it as we write something. If we feel like there's a place vocal needs to go, we'll put it there. And if not, then we don't. This record ended up being more instrumental than vocal. Mm-hmm. The next release that we tracked at the same time is a really long one song EP, and that's got some vocals on it. But going forward, we'd like to do a little more. You know, Mike and I tend to have some interesting intervals that we like to use for harmonies that aren't your typical things. So we'd like to explore a little more of that and a little more of the cleaner vibey stuff. But also, you know, we like kicking you in the head with some volume too. That's always fun.
You guys recorded another album or another release at the same time? That's awesome.
Yeah, well, we had these five songs done, and we had learned this other 9-minute song with Johnny while we were getting ready to do the record. So we figured if we were going to go in and track it, we might as well just bang all six out and get it done. And then we're ready to release the next one when it's ready. I think we have vocals and a few overdubs to finish on it, and then we'll mix it. But
you mentioned his name. Why don't we might as well let's shout him out for Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny Myrick played drums on this record. He is playing with us for the show on November 20th. He filled in for us for the last show we played. Unfortunately, he is the drummer that's in every band in Tacoma.
Yes.
So not available to join permanently, but we could not have made this record without him. His interpretation of the drum parts for these songs is phenomenal. He's great to work with in the studio, super coachable, and just a phenomenal player, man. The guy, we love him to death, and he's a fantastic human being. We can't thank him enough. And his other bands, you know, all of them, Command, Toxic Rain, Hellas, Ghost Blood, and Fishy Mushroom. Yeah. So check those guys out too, because their drummer is killer.
It's cool to hear him doing something that's not just, you know, heavy, fast thrash. You know, it's cool to hear him adding to a little bit.
Like he is, that's where he got his start, was playing in jazz band in school, and he can do all that stuff.
That's awesome.
And we heard him, you know, just goofing around down here, do stuff where we were like, I had no idea you could play that way. Cause you always see him doing super fast thrash stuff. So it was fun to see him stretch out. We know that he had a blast getting to do this. So, you know, we wish he could join permanently, but not until we, you know, eliminate all other bands that he's in.
And assassins are expensive.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that on tape, dude.
What?
It's digital. I think that's okay.
We'll cut out that part or something. We'll figure it out.
No, we it was such a pleasure to get to do this project with him, man. And like I said, it wouldn't have been possible without him. He really stepped to the plate right after the pandemic shutdowns happened. Nobody was sure what was going to happen. And we were supposed to open for Moss Generator and You're the Cobra that in May of that year, and things happened with our former drummer and we just had to end it, and Johnny came on and stepped up to the plate, and it's been incredible.
That's awesome, man. Well, shout out to Johnny. We're gonna go into a song here to end the interview, but before we do, I got my weird question that I like to ask every band and every musician that I talk with. It is the trademark question. So if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
I have two big giant scars on my ankle from when I'm in three places last October and had to be put back together with Terminator parts.
What the hell happened?
We moved about before we moved, moving stuff around, or 2 weeks after we got into the place, I stepped over something and caught my foot and went down on it. And that's all.
Getting old.
Brutal. Yeah. His brother did the exact same thing like 2 weeks before that. And then a couple days later, I did it to me.
You were probably laughing at him. You're like, hey. And then it happens to you. You're like, no.
And that's what I get. Karma's a bitch sometimes.
Mike, what about you, man? Where's your scar? What's it all about?
I have a scar on my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
I had a babysitter when I was, I don't know. I was pretty young. I don't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, was supposed to go to bed. I decided to come back downstairs with a cape on and a pair of underwear over my head, being a superhero of some sort. And she was not happy about that. Gave me a little push and said, go back to bed. Fell, tripped the corner on the wall, split my head wide open.
It's child abuse.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. I figured that my, you know, she called up my aunt and uncle. They came over and kept applying a bandage to it and the, you know, trying to pull it back together, just getting hair stuck in it. So ripping it back off and ripping it back off.
Jesus.
Probably more traumatic for the babysitter than anyone else, but
absolutely. Yeah. Don't tip them. Gnarly. Okay, man. Well, I like your scar stories and we like the tunes. You can go see them play some of these songs again, November 20th at the Plaid Pig. What were the other bands you were playing with?
Stricken, They Walk Among Us, and Breath.
Awesome. Again, that's cool. Plaid Pig in South Tacoma Way. What were you saying, Tristan? My bad.
All really cool heavy bands that we love. We just played with Breath a month ago. They're from Portland and they're a two-piece bass and drum duo that are amazing.
Awesome. Is there going to be physical versions of this, like on CD, or is it just a digital?
They're available right now on our Bandcamp page. We have physical CDs. We're talking about vinyl, but with the supply chain problems right now, it's your wait for vinyl pressing.
Yeah. And 2023, maybe.
Yeah, we weren't willing to drop a couple grand to wait for a year right now. So we're going to do this run of 100. And then once that sells out, we'll decide if we're going to do another run and then go from there.
Yep.
Right on, guys. Well, we look forward to the show. And again, album is going to be available November 20th. The Ancients Judge, The Folly of Man. We're going to jump into it right now. Cirrus, any final words before we jump into this one?
We've enjoyed making the record. We're happy to finally have it out. Can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Right on. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Tristan.
Thank you, Kevin.
Here's Cirrus. It's Loud and Local. Stay Home Sessions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.